The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the dynamic Joe Fordyce. Joe, we are just a few days away from the Flyers season opener. The roster has been announced, so we're going to get into storylines and a prediction for the season at the end of it. So a lot to cover here on this Flyers Talk podcast before the games finally start. So, Joe, let's get into our storylines from 3-1. What's your third storyline entering the regular season here?
For me, it's all about number three will be the development of the young kids on this team. We saw some of it last year. Torts was big and consistent with his messaging about the subtractions were as big a part of this rebuild process as the additions were. And to me, the reason for that is you want to know what these kids are going to do. And now there's a little more room for them. We're going to see more from a few of these guys. We saw some, it's not even just the guys that didn't play a ton last year. To me, it's a lot about the guys like Cates. Do they take another jump in their game? We know Torts was very high on him last year. So does he take another leap in his game? So to me, it's all about development because really, I mean, that's the key to this whole thing is the development of the youth of this team. And also, he said it to us in an interview that we'll have on our opening night pregame show. The subtracting is not finished. He made that clear. So there's still some, I guess, weeding out that there is to do. I mean, we even saw it with Wade Allison being placed on waivers the other day. I mean, there clearly is still some, there are some players that just aren't going to be here. I mean, that's obvious. That's a reality for every team. But for this team in particular, there were a lot of the subtractions were the headlines of the offseason. And I don't think that part is done. And you still have to figure out which of these young guys are NHL players. Yeah. And which guys are just minor league players. And I don't know. I don't think that evaluation is close to being finished yet with certain guys. So to me, that's a huge, huge storyline heading into the season.
I agree, Joe. I think they still have a ton to figure out. Even a guy like Morgan Frost, as you mentioned, Noah Cates, can these guys take another step? What's the next step for them? And I think Frost is a guy that you think with John Tortorella, the coach still wants to figure out about him, you know, figure out more about him. Like, what kind of ceiling does he have? Is he a second line player? Is he a third line player? So while Frost has his spot solidified, even players like him, I think the organization is still trying to get the best read on if these guys are a part of the future long term.
Yeah, Frost is a perfect example because, yeah, we all pretty much know Frost is going to be here, but is he going to be here in a bottom six role or is he going to be here in a top six role? And if he's going to be here in a top six role, he probably needs to take a leap to really establish that.
Yeah.
Morgan Frost is one of those guys where last year you could tell John Tortorella talked about him in a lot of terms that were potential-ish, You know, like he would always talk about the potential, and then he would be hard on him when he didn't play well. And those are the guys I feel like it's almost like he's rooting for them because he knows it's there, but they have to show it. And he's one of those guys. And there's a few of those guys where it's not necessarily about whether they'll be here. It's about where they'll be here. So there's a lot of stuff from there's those decisions and then decisions about whether or not certain guys will be here. So there's still a lot to go on. And, you know, they haven't – nobody strayed away from the messaging of this is going to take a while. So this is all part of that.
The Flyers open the season on Thursday night in Columbus against the Blue Jackets, 7 p.m. puck drop. As Joe mentioned, on Flyers pregame live, they'll have an exclusive interview with John Tortorella. You don't want to miss that. It's at pregame live is at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. I know from just talking with Ashlyn Sullivan, Joe, I know you guys have plenty to unpack on pregame live. So looking forward to that. I hope fans tune in for sure. Yeah, Joe, for me, my third storyline is Sean Couturier and Cam Atkinson. I still think those two are going to be huge storylines. Can they stay healthy? How do their bodies respond to a full grind of an 82-game season? And I just think they can be difference makers if they are healthy. Sean Couturier, especially, even in the preseason, as the games ramped up toward the end, as he got more games, you could see him on the ice before taking a faceoff. He's directing young players, telling them where to stand, where to go, and then he's winning that faceoff almost always. I mean, like, that goes a long way throughout a course of a game and a season when you have a guy of his caliber showing players how to do things and winning faceoffs and dictating possession. Like, I just think he can be such an important player. And if those two are not healthy, I think this team could take a considerable step back. I mean, if you think about it, in many ways, Couturier is replacing Kevin Hayes, and Cam Atkinson is replacing James Van Riemsdyk. And if you take away Couturier and Atkinson for chunks of the season, then yeah, they're missing a ton of veteran presence, and they look even younger. And that's when I think they could take a step back, which some would debate whether that would be helpful or not for the rebuild. But long story short, Couturier, Atkinson, I think, are very important players. And Atkinson's even one where if he's healthy and producing, perhaps he's the guy the Flyers look to move at the trade deadline. I think he would be a real attractive piece for contending teams. And I think Atkinson maybe would be open to it. At 34 years old, I think he would love a shot to maybe go win. I'm not saying he's not invested here. He's a, you know, very much a leader here, but a guy that could be a trade piece when they have important decisions come the trade deadline.
Yeah, I'm Couturier and Atkinson. This kind of leads me into my second one because they're my second one.
Oh, perfect.
This team struggled mightily in scoring goals, and Cam Atkinson scores goals. And Sean Couturier sets up goals and scores them. So, as you mentioned, you know, you could say they replace those two guys that are no longer here. But I think they'll bring more offense than those two guys brought, at least last year. So that, to me, is if you're going to compete in games – you have to score goals, and I'm not breaking any news here. This is just these guys, they help that process. And I mean, really, if you look at the lineup without those two guys in it, outside of Travis Konecny, I'm not sure who you're looking at to score goals. So those, and it, you mentioned the veteran leadership and their presence just in the locker room, and particularly I look at, like you mentioned, a guy with, like Sean Couturier and his help with the development of some of these young players. And I think about a guy like Cates in particular, taking that next step and how key Sean Couturier could be in that area, because Cates is kind of a similar player in the sense that he's a two-way guy. Torts is happy with his game on both ends. And if you want to continue to develop in that area, what better way to to develop than a, than kind of learning from a guy that that was the best in the league at it a few years ago. So I think Couturier's presence is huge, but both of those guys in generating offense, which is one of the key struggles, and John Tortorella has talked about that in the preseason, talked about it a ton last year about how their issue was scoring goals and guys that when they had a chance to make a play, they needed to finish it. Well, those two guys know how to do that. So to me, they are, you can't stress enough the importance of those two players in the lineup.
Yeah. Catch all the sports action and more at Rivers Casino Philadelphia. Whether it's the money line or the pass line, there's something for everyone, including a great sports book. Rivers Casino Philadelphia. Philly loves a winner. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And Joe, we all know the power play struggles the team had. It was less than the league in 2022-23. Couturier and Atkinson are two guys that could help there. And like you said, overall, just in the goal scoring department, they need a boost. And those two guys have a track record of putting the puck in the net. Joe, for me, my second storyline will just be defense. I think that's where the questions really permeate for the Flyers is defensively. You lose Tony D'Angelo, Ivan Provorov, Justin Braun. They want to get younger on the back end, but we'll see when that will really take shape. They still have a veteran look with Sean Walker and Mark Stahl. But of course, they have some kids pushing like Igor Zamola and Emil Andre, just to name a few. Ronnie Adder, Adam Ginning. So they have some prospects, but how young will they get? When will it happen? And what could the team look like after the trade deadline on defense? But I really think that's going to be their biggest area of concern is defense. I think their picture and ingredients up front is not all that terrible. I think their forward group has some promise there. Defensively, I just think they have a lot to prove. Kame York is going to get his first full crack at the NHL. A lot to prove. Travis Sanheim needs to bounce back in a big way. There's a lot to prove there. What can Rasmus Ristolainen do? Maybe in more minutes. A ton to prove there. What do the pairs look like? I think there's still question marks there. So a lot to figure out. And as we all know, I think the teams that take the biggest steps have an identity on the back end. They have consistency. They have they're stabilized on the back end, and I just don't think the Flyers are there yet. So to me, defensively, just keeping an eye on what happens on the back end will be something worth watching all season.
Yeah, and that leads me right into my number one. My number one is defense, and kind of going back to what we were talking about a little earlier about there's a lot of these guys where you might not know whether they're NHL players or not. I think, unfortunately, a lot of those guys are defensemen. And the guys that you just rattled off are a lot of them. Zamula. Well, I mean, I think we all think Emil Andre is going to be an NHL defenseman. I don't know if he's there yet. Ginning. These guys are, I guess you could call them like fringe guys, you know. And you can't have too much of that on your defense going into the season because then you're going to have problems and you're going to struggle to establish an identity as a team. And, you know, the seasons as they start, you mentioned Sanheim has to bounce back. There's a lot of pressure on York now to be the guy because Ivan Provorov's not here anymore. And we talked about this on this podcast several times. Rasmus Ristolainen may have been the Flyers' best player over the last month of the season last year, or maybe even longer. He starts the season on IR, but hopefully he's back soon. And you know, can he keep that up? And does he continue to play in the way that he played late last season where he was still solid, but I mean, he was still his – solid defensively, but he looked to create some offense more. And that was not a part of Risto's game that we saw prior to that point. So to me, that's which Risto do we get? Because I think that was a spark for the Flyers, the way he played at the end of last season. So, and I think he was one of their most improved players from year to year. from the two seasons ago to last season. So I think those are all good things, but there's a lot of question marks because certain guys may have to change the way they play based on increased minutes, decreased minutes. And then you mentioned the veteran presence with the Mark Stahl back there, Sean Walker. I mean, you have veterans who will probably play third pair, and barring injuries, they'll be third pair. But they still have an influence on the team. That's why they were brought here, particularly a guy like Mark Stahl. He's played for a long time. He's won. He's experienced most of everything there is to experience in this league. And I think he can teach a lot of the young guys. But it's kind of figuring out who's an NHL guy. I mean, just to bring up Zamula for one, he's a guy we talk about on this podcast a lot, about most to prove, most to lose. He fits into both of those categories because the time is now, when it's based on his age and things like that, you know, the time is now for him, and they need to know whether he's an NHL player or if he's going to be on the Phantoms. And, you know, when we talk about how this team has a lot of work to do, that's an area where there's still a lot of work to do because there's a lot of guys that are fringe, whether they're NHL players or not, for the long haul.
John Tortorella even said he thinks the Flyers will have some horror shows on the back end, and I don't think that's a bad thing. If they're looking younger and they're trying to figure out if prospects are going to be players sooner rather than later, you got to play them, and you have to let them go through mistakes. At the end of the day, I think we all know the Flyers are not making a push for the playoffs, or at least the people on the outside don't think they are. So they need to very much figure out some of the guys on the back end and who's going to be an answer, who's not. So if that requires some lumps and some long nights where guys are kind of fighting it and they're playing in the defensive end a lot, I think so be it. I think that's what the Flyers have to do, is identify solutions there. So I think that's going to be worth watching all year.
Absolutely. And, you know, your defense is kind of how you establish an identity as a team. Mm-hmm. Unless you're a team like Edmonton that just scores crazy amounts of goals. Mm-hmm. But a lot of teams' identity is established on the back end. And right now I'm not sure anybody involved with this team knows exactly what that is. So that's going to be a work in progress.
Yeah. Joe, my number one storyline, sticking on the theme of the back end, Carter Hart in net. I think he's still the biggest storyline in my eyes for various reasons. One, he's entering a contract year. Two, there was some trade buzz surrounding his name in the offseason. I think that happens when a team has new leadership, has a new GM, and they're open to rebuilding. So can Hart prove that he fits their timeline? Like, how quickly do the Flyers start to take strides? Do they envision the rebuild going a little quicker than maybe some anticipate? And then is Carter Hart the backbone to that improvement? And if he is, then perhaps he looks like he still fits their timeline. He's only 25, and maybe they get better in 2 to 3 years, and they're starting to, you know, look like a playoff team and maybe a team that could do something. But if he doesn't play well, what's his next contract? Is he still their best trade asset? And do the Flyers take a step back and realize maybe their goalie of the future is not Carter Hart and it's somebody else, and they need to maybe facilitate the rebuild by using him in a trade scenario? So I think Carter Hart is just a huge storyline with his contract, with where the team may be in its rebuild. Is he going to take that next step? Is he not? I think they're all questions that need to be answered this season, and I think we'll get answers. I think a very telling season for Carter Hart and the Flyers there in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely, because you mentioned the timeline, and it's kind of unfortunate that he had the beginning of his career has kind of crossed over, like the Giroux era and then the rebuild era, because no one's exactly sure how long this is going to take, and Carter Hart's into his career now. So is he going to be the guy by the time this team's ready to compete? That's a big question that needs to be answered. And again, you know, you mentioned the trade buzz. I'm not sure how many guys on this team could yield a big return in a trade. And I think Carter Hart's one of those guys. And I think the Flyers need to determine sooner than later whether or not they're going to use – whether or not he's going to be here and ride this out, or whether or not he's going to be a big tool, like you said, in kind of bringing in the young guys and furthering this youth movement. Because, I mean, let's be honest, if half of his career is going to be spent in a rebuild, or, you know, I'm not saying half from this point, I'm saying half, like if you go back to when he first came up, I don't know that that's the best decision for the team. So as he enters a contract year, I think you're right. It's really, I feel like every season we've said this is a huge year for Carter Hart. Yeah. I think this year is definitely the same, but I think it's for much different reason than the last few years. Because, of course, obviously when he first came up, he was kind of saddled with being the future of the franchise. And then he had the down time after the playoff run in the bubble. Mm-hmm. Where we kind of, he just looked like and sounded like a different player, and then he bounced back. And so every year there's kind of been this theme of a big storyline surrounding this goaltender. And this year, I think it's, you said it, the contract year, and with the contract year comes a lot of other things, like, will he be here? So, yeah, you can't stress enough how big of a year this is for Carter Hart.
And, Joe, it's still kind of crazy to me to think he made his NHL debut when he was 20. He's 25 now, and he still hasn't played a playoff game in Philadelphia. He hasn't played a playoff game in front of fans. Obviously, his only playoff appearance came in the bubble with no fans. So to think that Hart is now established and 25 and – hasn't seen playoff hockey in Philadelphia, it just kind of tells you where the Flyers have gone. Yes, COVID-19 played a major impact in that fact, but still hard to believe. And that you know, Hart has really not had that playoff type of experience yet. And it tells you just kind of how far the Flyers have gone south, and they're trying to get back, you know, to where maybe they're in that conversation a little bit.
Right. And on that point, I don't think anybody's under any illusions that he's going to be playing one anytime soon.
Yeah.
Which may be a factor in his mind about his own career. So that's a big factor as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And Joe, as we said, Carter Hart will have a big say in where this team finishes. So let's get to our prediction portion here. Where might the Flyers finish in your eyes? How many points? Maybe where in the standings? Give us your take, Joe.
I think this team is going to be hovering around the 10th, 11th spot in the East. And I would say they'll finish in the high 70s in points. I don't think it's going to be a question whether or not they're going to make the playoffs. I just don't see them competing to that high a level in the big games. And, you know, the East, like it has been, is pretty loaded again. And so I don't see that, but I see them being more competitive than last year. And I do see an identity starting to come through. And I feel like last year was kind of littered with a lot of like, okay, well, that guy's not going to be here. That guy's not going to be here. And that seemed to, I mean, that was a messaging from the head coach for a lot of the year. So I think there'll be less of that and more of how far has this guy developed, or how much has this person improved, or how much is this guy an NHL player? Again, we mentioned that a lot during this podcast. So, but I think their style of play will look different, more competitive. A lot of these guys use the hard to play against messaging. So I think that will all be improved. I think the standings will be kind of similar to last year, but maybe a few point difference, but finishing around the same spot and, you know, out of the playoffs, but that's not anything that's not expected at this point, for me or anyone else.
I think a lot of people forget the Flyers kind of overachieved last year, as difficult as the year was, probably for so many fans to stomach. They did actually overachieve, if you think about it, with no Cam Atkinson, no Sean Couturier, and they saw improvement in wins, points, coming off a season where they lost 57 games. So there was improvement. Joe, I think it's realistic to think that they can make another jump, but not a real huge one, kind of something you alluded to. They had 75 points last year. I think it's realistic they finish with 81 points. Maybe turn a couple of those overtime losses into wins. If Sean Couturier and Kim Atkinson can stay healthy, I think it's possible they're still in it come February. They were kind of in it at the start of February last year. They were kind of in the race and in the picture, but then they fell off. I think that's possible it happens again. And of course, the trade deadline could take a big chunk of their roster away if things go maybe how people think. So I think 81 points, I don't know exactly where that will put them in the standings, but some strides will be taken, but another year of no playoffs, and I don't think that's going to be a huge surprise. I think the key thing, as you mentioned, Joe, will be how do they start to really developing players? Are some of the middle-aged players, you know, 24, 25 range, are they taking steps? And, of course, are their prospects getting looks and showing maybe the Flyers they can be players too? I think those will be the key points to the season and how the Flyers fare. But Joe, it'll be interesting to see for sure. Joe, did you have one more point?
Yeah, no, I just was going to say, I think that's going to be our theme is mm-hmm. who's taking steps and are the steps forward or backward? Because mm-hmm. I'm, you know, we're realistic here. I mean, some of these guys are going to take steps backwards and yeah. that's just part of this whole rebuild process is evaluating on the fly. And you know, again, that's going to be another season of a lot of that type of storyline as this rebuild continues.
Yeah, a ton of future talk, a ton of who will be here, who will not, who's going to be an answer. I think those are all questions the Flyers front office and coaching staff are going to be looking at this season. And of course, we'll be evaluating it here on the Flyers Talk podcast. Joe Fordyce, thank you so much, as always, for joining me. Great to see you. Great to chat with you. Catch Flyers pregame live produced by our very own Joe Fordyce on Thursday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. There's plenty to watch there, I promise. I've heard about it, and I can't wait to watch myself. Big thank you to Ben Berry, our podcast producer and guru, for being flexible with our time, as always. And a big thank you to Flyers fans for always watching and listening to the Flyers Talk podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, please rate and listen, and we cannot wait to talk to you next time.